الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Please be said الصلوات. Sometimes there are very clear issues that make a lot of sense to people, but because of some misconceptions or delusions caused by people, they start becoming very unclear and people start doubting them. There's a lot of these issues. It's not only related to the topics of religion. When it comes to history, there's a lot of historical points, events that took place in history that were undisputed. Then some people start posing questions about what happened there. They start saying, oh, that doesn't make sense and all. And it creates an atmosphere of doubt. That's when people start having to answer these questions about that issue to make it clear again. One of those issues is the issue of tawassul. Tawassul and shafa'ah, which are pretty much the same thing. We call shafa'ah usually when we're referring to the intercession and the day of judgment, we use the word shafa'ah. When we're talking about asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, especially when it's about this world, we use the word tawassul. This was something, it was undisputed. Nobody had any problem with it. And somebody came along by the name of Ibn Taymiyyah, and he started questioning that. This was a few centuries back. Then after him, another individual by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, who founded the sect of Wahhabism, they started questioning this. Otherwise, before that, Shia, Sunni, everybody believed in the concept of intercession. Everybody believed that you can go to the graveyard and pay visit to the dead. Let me mention something interesting. I don't know if you've heard this before. Did you know, before the Wahhabis started killing any Shias, they actually killed Sunnis first? There were a small group of backward-minded people that got support from powers outside of that region, and they believed whoever does not believe in their ideology is not Muslim and they deserve to be killed. One of their beliefs was that you cannot visit the graves. So all the Muslims that were in Mecca and in Medina and in Taif and in other places of Saudi Arabia of today, which was not called Saudi Arabia, the word Saudi was added because of their family name. They attacked those areas. There weren't many Shias in that area. They're all Sunnis. They killed them all. Whoever did not accept their version of Islam was killed. So anyhow, they started creating doubts. Otherwise, if you look in their books, in Sunni books, Sunni sources, Sunnis that are not Wahhabi, ask them, they all believe in the concept of intercession and tawassul and shafa'ah. It's this doubt that was caused by these people that did not know what they're talking about, that we're sitting here today trying to explain what this concept is about. We hear them saying that shafa'ah is shirk. Tawassul is shirk. Visiting the graves of the Ahlul Bayt or the Holy Prophet even is shirk. Somehow, alhamdulillah, they weren't able to tear down the Zariya of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they started calling this shirk. I'm going to view this from two perspectives. Let's look at it from a logical perspective, because it seems like some of their debates are trying to sound logical. They're trying to use logical language to explain that this is shirk. Like, oh, if God, if Allah, if you're supposed to refer to Allah, if you refer to anybody else, that in and of itself means shirk. If you're asking somebody else for something, then that in and of itself means shirk. Seems like they're trying to use logical explanation for that. Is that logical? Is it so that if you ask someone or something or use a means for something, that in and of itself is shirk? Logically, if you go to someone and ask someone for something independent of another being, if you go and ask, let's say you're, some other example I'll use, if you go to someone that's working in an office, you need something from that office, okay, you go to someone in that office, but you don't ask them through their position in that office for something. You ask them independently. Go out of your way as someone. I know you're in there, but regardless of you being there, do this for me. Okay? It's not his job to do it. He's going to go out of his way and, you know, do that job for me. This is asking someone independently. Independent of that office, you're asking them. If we believe that we are asking the Ahlul Bayt, or we believe that the Ahlul Bayt or the Holy Prophet can do something independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have their own power. God has got His will and His power over things. And He can do whatever He wants. But also the Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Prophet, can do whatever they want as well. And they have that power. If this is what we do, yes, this is shirk. See, God is one, they're another. God can do this, they can do this too. They don't get their power from God. If this is the explanation of tawassul and shafa'ah, this is wrong. If anyone goes to the Ahlul Bayt and asks them that, not believing that they got this power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not believing that Allah has told us to go to them, but just because I view you as a power, as an independent power in this universe, okay, that whether Allah likes it or not, I can ask them for this and they will give it to me. That's shirk. That is shirk. But who said we're doing that? Who said we go to the Ahlul Bayt or the Holy Prophet and we say, God's not giving me this, now you give it, you have powers of your own, independent powers, and you give me this. We're not doing that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created this universe and given everyone their existence and their power, tells us to refer to someone, and that we can refer to these people and ask them for intercession, then doing that is not only not shirk, it is actually tawheed. The meaning of tawheed is that you follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you, right? Whatever He says, we do. If He says, you followed the orders of this person, following His orders is not shirk, following His orders is tawheed, because listening to that individual means listening to Allah. You're listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if He says, refer to these people for intercession, for shafa'ah, then that means listening to that and referring to them and asking them for intercession is listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's tawheed. So referring to someone isn't in and of itself wrong. It depends how it is. It depends who you go to. Is it someone that I choose to go to just because I like to, or I think this guy's got powers? Which of course some people do, unfortunately. Shias, non-Shias, we refer to these people that have no powers and Allah has not told us to go to them, and we go to them and ask them to pray and, you know, do this or that. Who do we go to? We have to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. In the Holy Quran, now this is one other argument that they try to use. They say, oh, in the Quran it says that there's no shafa'a. Let's look at the verses in the Holy Quran that deal with shafa'a. There's a number of them. You can divide them up into different categories. One thing that they use, okay, for their argument is this. Surah Ghafir, verse 18. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْأَزِفَةِ إِذِ الْقُلُوبُ لَدَى الْحَنَاجِرِ كَاظِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاعَ. It says, on that day, on the day of judgment, the ظالمين, the people who are transgressors, the oppressors, the ones who have oppressed themselves and others, will not have a shafi', will not have anyone to intercede for them. There's no shafi', there's no intercession. Okay. The way they interpret it, it says, there's no wala shafi'an yuta'. There's no intercession. So why are you guys believing in intercession? This verse may be interpreted in that way. We have to understand, when it comes to Islamic texts, or any text, even if you want to go through the Western legal systems, through the Western legal systems and the texts, if you want to find out what the law about an issue is, what do you do? Do you just go to the law book and pick up one text that has to do with that issue? If you do that, then there's a good chance that you're missing a lot about that particular issue. There could be numerous laws that deal with that issue. There could be numerous statements that deal with that. If you want to get the whole picture, what the English law says about something, you have to read all of the laws that pertain to that matter. Otherwise, your understanding is incomplete. Now this verse, there's two ways to interpret this. One way is that, لا شَفِيعًا يُطَاعُ. There's no shafi'ah, there's no interceder, there's no one that can intercede. Let's put the other verses that deal with the issue. Surah An'am, verse 71 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وذر الذين اتخذوا دينهم لعبا ولهوا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا وذكر به أن تبسل نفس بما كسبت ليس لها من دون الله ولي ولا شفيع. Says the people that make fun of their religion, people that do whatever they like, they don't care what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and they're busy with this world, they're busy with their business and making money and spending it in entertainment and the likes of that. Tell them that they will not have, other than Allah, they will not have any shafi'ah. No one's going to intercede for them except for Allah. Now this again, if one way to interpret this is what they say. There's no shafa'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive, He will forgive. If He doesn't want to, He won't. Nobody else can stop Him. There's no shafa'ah. Surah Zumar, verses 43 and 44. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أم اتخذوا من دون الله شفعاء قل أولو كانوا لا يملكون شيئا ولا يعقلون قل لله الشفاعة جميعا. Or are they taking other than Allah interceders? Tell them, the verse says, Even if they don't own anything from themselves, they can do this intercession. And they don't understand. وَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. The verse is referring to the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the people who worshipped idols. Okay. They used to take the idols, okay, as shufa'a. They didn't believe that these idols actually created the universe. What they believed was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe. But these idols, okay, have got powers. They can intercede. If I need something for my daily activities, if I want my business to be more successful, okay, I go through these idols. These are my shufa'a, which is what we call tawassul, okay. In our language, it's turned into. But this is the shafa'a that they're talking about here. Tell them, it says that these idols don't own anything from themselves. Just knock them down, they'll fall. They can't help themselves. How can they help you? قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. All of intercession is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. This, again, it could be interpreted the way they're trying to say. However, the following verses suggest otherwise. There's a verse that you probably all know. It's verse 255 of Surah Baqarah. We call it Ayatul Kursi. Okay. And there it says, when it talks about Shafa'ah, it says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Right? You all have it memorized, right? Inshallah. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who can do intercession in his presence except with his permission? Now, can this verse be explained in the same manner as the other ones? The other one said, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. Intercession is Allah's. Okay. One way of interpreting that is that Allah is the one who's going to do intercession. No other being has intercession. So in believing in the intercession of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt is something that is not acceptable. This verse, however, says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عَنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is the one that can intercede in his presence except through his permission? If it wanted to say that there's no shafa'a for anyone except for God, the way they're trying to explain it, then this piece, except with his permission, would be useless. It wouldn't make sense. You should just say there's no intercession. لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. If there's no individual that's going to have the permission to do intercession or intercede with it for anyone else, then this piece of the verse would be useless. It wouldn't make sense. You have to have some people to say that, okay, it's not the people you guys think, because you made that up. That was the problem with the idol worshippers, okay? The idol worshippers just made these things with dates, okay? And whenever they got hungry and they didn't have anything else to eat, they would eat that idol of theirs, okay? They would make a shape with dates, and they call that an idol. They would carve something out of wood or stone and would call that an idol and say that this has the power to intercede between me and God. Allah is telling them, where did you get that from? Like another verse that I will read to you. The next verse that I'll read, but anyway, the problem with them is, where did they get this from? Who told you that these beings or these, whatever you want to call them, you call them idols, where did they get their power? Did God tell you that they have permission to do intercession? No, He didn't. It's not that the concept of shafa'ah is wrong. The concept of shafa'ah makes a whole lot of sense. It is who you are considering the Shafi'ah. Who is it that you consider the Shafi'ah? You consider someone, you just pick someone, Joe Average off the street, hey, you come and do intercession for me. That's not going to be the case, okay? That's going to be shirk, because you are adding, you're saying this person has the power. God hasn't told you that. This verse says, Surah Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, verse 255 of Surah Baqarah. Who is it that can intercede unless with his permission? That means some people do have that permission, otherwise it wouldn't make sense to have that piece in there. Other verses note the same thing. Surah Saba, verse 23. Surah Taha, verse 109. Surah Yunus, verse 3. Say the same thing. And then we have verses that even go further. Surah Yunus, verse 18. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويعبدون من دون الله ما لا يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ويقولون هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. This is again talking about the idol worshippers. They worship other creatures other than Allah. They worship them. They are things that لا يضرهم ولا ينفعهم. They will not harm them or help them. They're useless. ويقولون هؤلاء شفعاؤنا. They say these creatures, these idols, they intercede for us. This is the piece that I was telling you about before. قل أتنبئون الله بما لا يعلم في السماوات ولا في الأرض. Are you telling God something that He does not know about? In other words, there's this thing that exists. These people, these creatures, these stones have got powers, and you're trying to tell God something that He doesn't know, that these stones have powers? The problem is you've picked the wrong thing to do intercession. It's not that the concept is wrong. Subhanahu amma wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. The next verse gets even clearer. Surah Maryam, verse 87. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. لا يملكون الشفاعة إلا من اتخذ عند الله عهدا. The people that they have an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the only ones that do have intercession. This verse is telling us there are actually people. It's stating this fact, that there are people that have intercession. لا يملكون الشفاعة. They don't have شفاعة except من اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا. Except for those who have taken the oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's some people that have taken the oath. Okay. Nobody except for them has got شفاعة. And the clearest one, verse in the Holy Quran, is in Surah Anbiya, verses 26. Through 28. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا. Again about mushrikeen. The mushrikeen used to say that God has got children. They used to say that some of them used to believe this, that the idols are actually symbols to symbolize the angels. The angels were the children of God in their eyes, okay? And these idols were there to symbolize those children. So it says, they say that God has got children. Subhanahu bal ibadun mukramun. Says subhanallah, he can't have children. That's a defect, because having a child means you have a physical body, and physical body means limitations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited, infinite. Okay. So subhanahu, he can't have that. Bal ibadun mukramun. What you are considering his children, those angels, they are ibadun mukramun. They are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are creations which are servants. لا يسبقونه بالقول وهم بأمره يعملون. They don't speak before his permission, and they obey what he says. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم. He knows what's before them and behind them. ولا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى وهم من خشيته مشفقون. And these angels do not intercede except for the people that God says they can intercede for. Okay. This is the clearest verse that tells us that there are beings other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are ibad, servants of Allah, that He says they have intercession. That's not the question. Who will they intercede for? Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Okay. And this is where it makes absolute sense. This is something God given. It's not something from themselves. If Allah didn't want to, they wouldn't have that power for one split second. It's not like God says, oh, they have to go to hell, then the Holy Prophet or these angels come along and say, no, they can't, and they try to stop Allah from... No. That's not how it is. Allah is all-merciful. He wants to forgive. Sometimes He forgives through these means. Okay? It's Allah forgiving. It's Allah giving that request of ours when we ask Him. It's nobody else, because nobody else has got any power from themselves in this world. It's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the only power in this universe. Nobody else can give anything unless He gives them the power. And that power that's given, again, is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. So they are given this shafa'ah, intercession, by Allah. Who can they intercede for? Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. So logically, it makes absolute sense. Based on the Holy Quran, it's clearly stated, I don't know how much clearer than that you can get. It states that these people are going to be, or these angels are going to be interceding. For who? Then it says they won't intercede except for these people. We say the salawat. However, there's a misconception amongst the Shia about the concept of intercession. And there's something that I'd like to clarify, and it has a practical effect on us, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it does. And as this verse said, that I just recited last to you, they don't intercede except لِمَنْ اِرْتَضَى, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleases. This concept of intercession is not something to give us a leeway to do whatever we like and please and say, oh, I believe in the Ahlul Bayt, and the Ahlul Bayt are going to intercede for us. Because I have the wilayat of Amirul Mu'mineen, once I die, then all of what I've done is cleared up. This is wrong, brothers and sisters. This is absolutely wrong. Let me read to you a couple of hadith. Because based on the verses that I recited, if you remember, one of them said that the first one that I said, the correct interpretation of it is this. The verse was, أنذر وأنذرهم يوم الأزفة إذ القلوب لدى الحناجر كاظمين من حميم ولا شفيع يطاع. It's talking about the ظالمين, people that have been oppressing themselves and others, that they will not have a shafi'a. It's clearly stating. It's this. The way they interpreted this is that there's no shafa'a. But the correct interpretation of it is that if you are a transgressor, if you're an oppressor, oppressing yourself and others, you will not have a shafi'a. God is not going to allow those. The permission that He gives to those to intercede is for people who are not transgressors and oppressors. Oppressors will not have a shafi' on that day. That's what this verse says. Let me read some hadith to make it even clearer. Imam As-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi, quotes the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saying, لَا يَنَالُ شَفَاعَتِي مَنْ إِسْتَخَفَّ بِصَلَاتِهِ وَلَا يَرِدْ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ لَا وَاللَّهِ. The Holy Prophet has said, and this is an authentic narration, I emphasize, my shafa'ah, the Holy Prophet says, will not include someone that does not take their prayer seriously, someone that is very disrespectful of the prayer. It doesn't matter if I pray on time. I had to work. Oh, I didn't feel like it. It got qadha, and I don't worry about it. This is called istighfaf. This is belittling the prayer. This is not taking it serious. Prayer is a very serious part of our religion, brothers and sisters. Very important part of our religion. It has a huge impact on the soul if we pray it the right way, according to the verse when it talks about the mu'mineen, the believers, or those who have khushu' in their prayers. They are detached from anything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's true prayer, brothers and sisters. Making that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's taking the prayer seriously. It has huge impacts. We shouldn't take it lightly. One of the urafa, who are very, urafa are people who've reached very high stages of spirituality. A very famous one of them used to say, he's been quoted numerous occasions, that he said, if you want to get anywhere, pray your prayers at the beginning of time. If you do that and you don't get anywhere in spirituality, you can curse me. That's how sure he was that that's going to have that effect. Take it serious, brothers and sisters. The Holy Prophet says, if you want the shafa'ah, okay, you can't just do whatever you want. Yes, we're going to be slipping sometimes, making some mistakes and committing some sins, and inshallah asking for forgiveness after that. But there are certain things that if you do, you just don't deserve shafa'ah anymore. One of them is salat. If we don't take it serious, if we don't take the prayer serious, we're not going to accept, we're not going to be eligible for the shafa'ah. We're not going to be one of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to allow the shafa'ah to apply to. And the other one that this hadith mentions, the Holy Prophet says, لا ينال شفاعتي من شرب المسكر ولا يرد علي الحوض لا والله. He emphasizes on both, he swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that first, a person who is disrespectful of prayer, takes it lightly, will not receive it. And the second issue is drinking intoxicating liquids, muskir. This is very dangerous, brothers and sisters. The other hadith say, if a person drinks one cup of this drink, wine or whatever, beer and all. And by the way, non-alcoholic beer sold here in the West is not halal, okay? Because they make the beer the same way they do the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. Just they extract the alcohol, that's najis, and we can't drink it. Anyhow, the hadith says if a person drinks one cup of that for 40 days, their prayers are not accepted. And some people on the trips that we have ask and say, oh, that means we have to redo the prayers or we shouldn't pray. No, it doesn't mean any of that. It means you pray, you face the Qibla, you pray, and you're not going to be punished for not praying either. You have prayed. But the acceptance of prayer is the effect that that prayer has got on the soul. For 40 days, if you drink that wine, it won't have any effect on you, on the soul. Unless, of course, we ask for forgiveness and really repent and decide never to do that again. So two points that this hadith says. Another one, also mentioning the same two points, Imam Al-Kadhim, Salamullahi Alayhi, the seventh Imam. Says that my father was in his deathbed. كان أبي or أنه لما احتضر أبي عليه السلام قال لي. You know, someone's passing away. This is the Imam. The sixth Imam is passing away. His son, the seventh Imam, is sitting there with him. He's giving him some advice. What would you tell your child if you were in that position? Or anyone around you? You try to think of the most important thing around to talk about, because I'll be leaving this world in a few minutes. The Imam tells his son, the seventh Imam, Ya Bunay, إنه لا ينال شفاعتنا من استخف بالصلاة. A person Who does not take his prayer seriously will not receive our intercession. وَلَا يَرِدْ عَلَيْنَا الْحَوْضُ They will not enter the Hawd of Kawthar, the pool of Kawthar on the day of judgment, which all the Shias, the true followers of the Ahlul Bayt, because that's what Shia means. Okay, Shia doesn't mean just calling myself Shia. The narration goes that a group of people went to visit the 8th Imam in Tus, and when they knocked on the door, I've said this a couple of times, it's a very interesting story to me, that's why I keep repeating it. They knocked on the door, the servant came, servant of the Imam, and they said, tell the Imam that it's a group of his Shias that are here to visit him. He went back and came and said, Imam doesn't give you permission to come in. Second day, third day, fourth day. They were on a trip, they were going to be going back. The last day that they were there, they went again and knocked and told the servant, look, tell the Imam, we're leaving. Want to see him. So he told the Imam, and the Imam said, let him in. They came in. So they asked, why weren't you letting us in? The Imam said, you claim you're Shia. You're not Shia. Salman is Shia. Salman al-Farsi, Abu Dhar is Shia. Miqdad is Shia. Habib ibn Mazahir is Shia. It's people with Imam al-Husayn that were willing to give everything they had. And as one of them got up on the night of Ashura and told the Imam, if I am killed and my body is burnt and that the ashes are just thrown away and brought back to life 70 times and this happens to me, I will still be on your path and follow you. That's a Shia. So on his deathbed, the 6th Imam told his son, the 7th Imam, that if one does not take their prayer seriously, they will not be receiving the Shafa'ah. وَلَا يَرِدْ عَلَيْنَا الْحَوْضِ The Hawd that I was saying, the Shias will be joining the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt in that. وَلَا يَرَدْ عَلَيْنَا الْحَوْضِ مَنْ أَدْهَمَ هَذِهِ الْأَشْرَبَ A person that drinks these drinks will not be receiving the Shafa'ah. And the 7th Imam says, I asked what type of drinks? He says, the muskir. The point of Shafa'ah, brothers and sisters, is not to make us lazy in practicing the religion. That's not the point. The point is to give us hope. Sometimes we lose hope. Losing hope is really bad. There's a narration that says one of the companions of the, I believe it was the 7th Imam, he visited some part in Khurasan. The governor on one of the days of Ramadan was drinking wine and eating, you know, in Ramadan, on one of those days that he was supposed to fast. He was drinking publicly. And he didn't care. So the companion said, what are you doing? This is Ramadan. He said, well, with what I have done, I will never be forgiven. So who cares? He said, what did you do? He said, well, I was the guard in a prison. And about 70 or 80 Sadat, children of the Prophet, very spiritual ones that when you looked in their face you saw the light. These people were in my prison and the governor told me and commanded me that I have to kill them all. And one by one I brought them out and I chopped their heads off. After that there's no way that God will forgive me. So it doesn't matter what I do. The companion went to the Imam and told him about the story. The Imam told him, yes, that person is not going to be forgiven, but not because that sin that he committed. He's not going to be forgiven because he's lost hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we commit sins, shaitan fools us in thinking that, oh, you've done so much, you're not going to be forgiven. Forget this then. We just cut off all strings that lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shafa'ah, tawassul, tawbah, all these things are there, not to get us lazy, but to give us that hope. Okay, work this much at least. Get this step done. Get your prayer done. Don't drink. Okay, you'll get this shafa'ah. Once you get that done, then they will say, you know, move on, do more. Don't try to just, you know, save yourself from hellfire. Those levels of paradise are so high and so different from the lowest level to the highest level that you wouldn't want to stick to that bottom level. Move up. One of the things that keeps our prayers from being answered, according to hadith, and I don't have time to read that hadith for you, is sins, brothers and sisters. We commit sins, our prayers aren't answered. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something that we think we need in this world, and we're like, oh, why aren't the prayers answered? And I'm doing this nazar, and I'm asking the Ahlul Bayt for it, and none of that's happening. The Imam says, what do you expect? You expect to do whatever you want, and then ask God for something and Him give it to you? Or go through the Ahlul Bayt, and whatever we've done, just they give it to us? That doesn't make sense. That's not the purpose of tawassul. That's not the purpose of shafa'ah. The purpose of shafa'ah is like hur. On the day of Ashura, he's the first one that came to the Imam and actually stopped the Imam. I mean, how much worse could that get? If it wasn't for Hur, the Imam had reached Kufa, okay, there was a good chance that he would have been able to get the people together and go against Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Hur was the first one that stopped the Imam, did not let him to move towards Kufa, and did not let him to go back to Medina, and made him to pick another route. And then once they reached Karbala, Hur was the one that stopped the Imam from going anywhere else. He said, you have to stay here. On that day, when he saw that the battle is taking place, he went to the Imam and he was shaking, he was shivering, and asking the Imam, will I be forgiven? Will you intercede for me to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? And the Imam told him, you've been forgiven. You are hur, you are free, as your mother has named you. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم يا أبا عبد الله. These days belong to the Lady Zainab, Salamullahi alayha. The family of the Imam has been moved from Karbala to Kufa. Probably these days they're being removed from Kufa to go towards Sham. I don't know how many of you have looked on the map, the distance from Kufa to Sham. Just imagine the women and children, little Sakina, the little daughters of the Imam, the sisters of the Imam, being taken on barefoot to Sham. On the way they'll be taken to different cities. They were mistreated, they were called Khariji. They said, these people are not Muslim anymore. Oh Allah, the family of the Holy Prophet is being called Khariji. Hadrat Zainab is being called Khariji, disbeliever. Just imagine what the people would do to someone like that. Some people would be throwing stones at the women and children.
Imam Zain al-Abidin, he couldn't walk. He would be on a camel with the chains being tied to his neck and legs. Just imagine what that heat would do to the chain and with the pain that it would cause on the neck of the Imam. Sallallahu alaykum. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifinaik alayka minni salamullah أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents and all those who've taught us the word in Islam of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give long life and good health to the maraja and to especially our leader, and to hasten the return of our 12th Imam and to enable us to be on his army, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Allah.